And earlier this week, I noticed that the fountain is on in Ira Keller Park, and it's gorgeous. But what was gorgeous about it is not, oh, this park is so much more lovely. It was, look at that beautiful Bull Run water. This is, you know, there's a sign that says you can't drink it, but it's, you know, it's symptomatic of what the Water Bureau does. Because frankly, although you're right, Mike, it's lovely to be able to turn on the tap, especially after you've been camping and you get back and you can turn on the tap again. It's like brilliant. I don't generally think to myself, look at that lovely Bull Run water. I do when I drink it, but I don't rejoice in it the way I do when I see the decorative fountains. We also found in our parks budget discussions that for communities of colour and low-income communities, the decorative fountains are actually what they tend to play in, even though they're not supposed to in some instances. Because we don't have developed parks in some of their city. If you look at the people who are playing in Salmon Street Springs, it's a wide variety of people, tourists as well as people from all over the region, but definitely a lot more diverse than some of our more developed parks. And so I think it is a valuable service that needs to be funded, and I totally agree with the Cub that let's make the decision once and for all, because it's just not fair to those particular staff. We think in parks that we've actually improved the way that the maintenance is done, because the parks rangers and other parks technicians are in the parks at the same time, and then they can just put in the work order within parks rather than having to ask another bureau. We think that's created some efficiencies, and that keeping the staff in parks is the better way to go. I'm somewhat agnostic to that. But when we're looking at all the things that we want to buy with general fund dollars, we don't have enough. And so, as I say, it goes back to what do we want to buy and how do we want to pay for it. And I think that's a decision that the council should make in this process. Just going back to the reservoirs, I was concerned that the city budget office recommends using the set-aside, the general fund capital set-aside for the reservoirs. Yes, they're now in parks, so I can see how that could be. But on the other hand, they are there in parks because they were transferred from the Water Bureau. So there's so many other things. There's like $400 million worth of maintenance improvements in parks that we don't know how we're going to fund, despite the $68 million Fix Our Parks bond measure that the voters passed in 2014, that adding this to the list and using that set-aside money doesn't seem to me to be the way to go.
Thank you. Yes. If I could just Independent Budget Office.
Yeah, on that point, Commissioner Fritz, you know, we did recommend funding for the reservoirs out of the capital set aside, but it was more based on council's earlier decision to allocate funding over this 4-year period of time. That project was not ranked along with the other projects, and I think to the extent it was ranked, it would probably rank relatively low. But in our view, council has already made a commitment, and the general fund, we need to figure out within that 4-year period of time how to fund that commitment.
Well, to be very clear, we specifically did not say that all of the money that was needed to get that land use case through was going to come from the general fund. There has never been a council decision that said that. Year by year, especially while the lawsuit we don't talk about anymore was underway, we agreed that it would be prudent to fund it from general fund. Now the lawsuit never happened, so I think we have to revisit that question.
And Commissioner, if I can make one more point about the lawsuit that we're going to stop talking about soon. But I did, just in the context of this, one, it is put on the record because I don't think it shows up in our water or BES review, but it does show up in our overview memo, the executive summary. We are, so the city does owe water, mostly water and a little bit to BES, $7 million as a result of that settlement to the bureaus. And we do owe that money by September 2019. So as part of CBO's overall recommendations for this year's budget, we are recommending setting aside $400,000 ongoing, which the city would be able to use to borrow internally and get about half of that repayment to water and BES. It would still leave us on the hook as a city for finding the remaining half sometime in the next year and a half or so. But I want to make sure that that is an important part of this year's budget and potentially next year's budget as well.
Well, I appreciate that exchange and appreciate Commissioner Fritz so eloquently putting a number of the big ticket items that we're going to have to discuss and resolve. And I agree with you that the decorative fountain issue should be resolved once and for all. Any other questions from our community budget advisors? So We're right on time. Director Stewart, to you and your team, thank you. To our two oversight bodies, thank you for your thoughtful input. To our labor partners and to our senior management team that's here, thank you for the great work that you do. And that concludes. Yes?
Just before you conclude, Mr. President, I just want to commend you as the commissioner who's had the utilities for the last 5 years. First of all, in the past, this chamber would have been packed upstairs and down, and we would have been worried about people throwing rocks at us. So, although I think we can argue about or discuss whether it's 5% or what the particular number is, and that matters to me less than what are we going to pay for it, you have brought a confidence from the community of Portland and from the City Council, certainly myself, and I know from the Portland Utility Board, that your leadership has really changed these bureaus around, and I just want to commend you for that.
Well, thank you very much. High praise. Thank you. It has been an honor and continues to be an honor to work with talented teams at both utilities, and I thought it was interesting. I think Alan, in one of his comments, kind of foreshadowed a conversation that Mayor Hale started, but we then kind of shelved, which is there a point someday in the future where we actually combine the two utilities? I actually don't want to be the commissioner that is in charge of that exercise, if it ever is the council will, because we'd have to unravel all of our financial arrangements, all of our bond covenants, and I think it would be enormously complicated. And in the what we've done in the alternative is we've created a sort of virtual combination. We do joint planning, we do joint budgeting, we've shared best practices back and forth. So I think we've gotten many of the benefits that accrue to having a single commissioner have oversight of the two utilities. But there is this big question about at some point do we have a Department of Utilities, and I wish whoever takes that issue up in the future good luck, because that will be an enormous undertaking.
If I might just comment on that. Unfortunately, my title is the Commissioner of Public Utilities, so people are constantly asking me to take care of stuff that I then send on to Commissioner Fish. I think there are advantages when you have a commissioner like Commissioner Fish, who has done such an awesome job of leading it. This is the bulk of the city's budget, and putting one person in charge of the bulk of the city's budget is of great concern to me, particularly knowing some of the problems we've had in the past with commissioners in charge acting like it was their own private fiefdom, no naming. So there can be some advantages of splitting the two up as well.
Well, I'm not advocating. So, Mike, thank you. Thank you to you and your team. And we have one other item to take up, and the Bureau of Available for Special Topic is here to say make a presentation. I missed this one. Talk about mission creep. I don't even know when this was established, but is this Andrew, where any other topic can be raised by anyone who's here? Okay. Thank you all. So let's start with our community budget advisors. This is our last meeting. We owe you a great debt for your service. And are there any final words or questions you'd like to put on the table so that we can respond to them throughout the budget process? Let's start with you, Danica.
I didn't know I was going to be on the spot, but what's been in my mind throughout this process, and I think I share with some of the CBO team, is that at what point our city needs to prioritize our housing versus other areas in our budget. And I think other members of the finance committee have mentioned that maybe instead of like a reduction budget by budget, it's a reduction in a more collaborative in general way. So my priority is housing, because that's what I serve. And it's what our community is hurting. It's where it's hurting the most. So that's my question as we move forward.
Thank you. And thank you very much. Sho DiZona?
Thank you for the opportunity. This is my second opportunity to serve as a budget advisory committee last year I thought we had more emphasis on equity and diversity on employment by the bureaus. I didn't see that specifically written in the bureaus. That's what I was asking Kofi about. How are we making progress, and what's our are we making progress in that area, employment? Because I'm more concerned about the growing diversity in our community and lack of employment for those new immigrant refugees in our community.
So that's an excellent point. And, you know, we have been changing our approach to this process every year. And we've Commissioner Fritz and I have, well, I've served under four mayors. And so we had four different visions of how to make this effective. Under Mayor Adams, we spent more time looking at maps and where money was invested. We did spend more time a couple years ago dealing with equity and getting specific reports. What I would encourage particularly our community budget advisors to do is when you reflect on your experience at the end of this budget, I hope you'll take the chance to come back to us in writing or whatever your preference with suggestions for how we can continue to improve the process. And I have some ideas as well when we do the debrief that I'd like to share with the mayor's team and with the budget office. Andrew, any last words you'd like to raise?
Could I just comment on what you just... I agree. I'm concerned that we didn't get routine reports from all of the bureaus on how we're doing on jobs, services, and money going out the door. So I'd like to see that as an improvement next year. But also, my question, and I know you can't answer it right now, Andrew, is how are we going to get the feedback from our community budget advisors who've sat through as many hours as we have and yet don't have a formal role in advising us? You know, Dineshka just mentioned about how much are we going to give to housing. That's one of the huge questions. And unless we consider new revenue, what is not going to get funded because of housing? So because everybody, I think, agrees we need more support for people who are currently living outside, the question is what are we not going to do unless we raise more money in order to do that? And so I would be interested. I really want our community budget advisors to be involved and hoping, I don't know if you're able to observe the public budget meetings. Your questions have been fabulous throughout these several sessions. I want you to be able to get the answers, and then I want to get your advice on, you know, if you were in my position, what would you be going on the line for? So thank you very much.
So end of last year's process, Mayor Wheeler did invite the Budget Advisory Committee to meet with him, and so my recommendation on the equity issue was that the mayor's office should take a stronger position on demanding the budget, all the bureaus meet guidelines that are set by the city mayor's office rather than individual. I see a lot of money being spent for equity positions by the bureaus. I'm not sure who's accountable for that. And that's what I was asking Kofi for his input as being the interim director for the Office of Equity.
Well, I think, to be fair, equity was not listed in the mayor's priorities. And so the bureaus were responding to the mayor's priorities, and most of them did say, you know, based on what he had laid out. So that is a concern. Just, yes, we have particular other priority or additional priorities. Equity is the fundamental issue of why we have all the other disparities. So I don't think, regardless of whether it's listed as something that should be addressed, that should be kind of the bottom line, that they have to address that.
If I could just add a comment, I think, show that we should have a scorecard on a bunch of the metrics that are applicable to each bureau, with some that are applicable to all bureaus, that have a very simple coded system, like what we get, for example, with technology oversight, where it's color-coded to tell us, are we making progress or we have a problem. But this year we didn't discuss the metrics in any great detail. You've come back to the question about our equity goals. And I think there needs to be some way to prepare a very simple report card that gets presented that you know, at a very high level says, are we making progress or not towards the metrics, and then allows our community budget advisors to drill down if we're not. So I think that's a wonderful suggestion.
Commissioner, if I may, the Office of Equity and Human Rights is working with every bureau to provide the year one report on the equity plans, what they have accomplished. So we are discussing the system to be able to collect the data, and we will be presenting the year one report to City Council. So just to let you know that we are working
Mr. Director, I think what we're hearing is that we're going to want to sync this up so that either the report or the preliminary data is available for these discussions, because so many of the questions go to how are the bureaus doing in meeting their equity goals. So I think that's a question of syncing up those two processes.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Madam Auditor, have you heard anything during this process that has alarmed you to the point you're going to announce a new slew of audits this week?
Yes.
And any final words you'd like to share with us?
I just want to say how much I appreciate the thought that goes in from every bureau about what they're trying to accomplish, what they need to accomplish, and that is good information for us to come in and provide an independent assessment at some point of how they're doing and achieving their goals, and if there's some recommendations that we can make to improve that. So it's very helpful to us.
Thank you very much. Go ahead. Yeah.
One last comment and question. I'm planning to attend as many public hearings as possible, and that always would inform. It might change what my priorities are. You know, that's how it is. And then we are expecting some of the questions to be answered. And I think there was one bureau that needed a new parks. It's going to be submitting potentially a new set of cuts, and then we will be meeting again as the advisory board with the council. Do we have a date?
We do, yeah. So as part of this process, all the follow-up information, we work with the bureaus to get that and send it back out. So that'll come to you in pieces, but it'll come from the City Budget Office, both to council and also to the Community Budget Advisor. So that follow-up information will be provided. And then you are scheduled to meet with the mayor during his proposed budget process, which I think we've communicated that date.
Okay.
But if not, we can find that. And then there are the public hearings. And then finally, the back here as the budget committee, council's currently scheduled on May 15th for that work session. So that'll be another opportunity here to talk about the approved budget process.
And I'd like to get the information that they give to the mayor in proposing his budget, because that doesn't sound like I get to hear the benefit of their advice. The mayor does.
Yeah, and I guess at that point, we can certainly work with the Community Budget Advisors on how they want to do that. That in the past, that's been through a meeting, with the mayor, which we could also establish meetings with. We have that May 15th meeting, but we could do individual meetings with commissioners as well. And obviously, if the Community Budget Advisors wanted to provide a written report or a written letter, a memo of some kind, that can happen as well.
Okay. I hope it's more of a conversation when we get back to that work session.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. So a whole new budget for parks, that's quite a task. Do we get to do Mike gets to do another presentation, or we'll just get the information electronically?
At this point, it's one of the response questions, so it would be sent out electronically. I guess I would say that members of the as we go into the budget committee, certainly we could ask Parks to come back during that work session and talk. The mayor may also ask them questions during his proposed budget process as well.
If you have particular questions, you can certainly contact my staff and we can get them answered for you.
Yeah, you from our perspective, the Community Budget Advisors have independent standing. You're a full party to this, and you have independent standing. So we appreciate you asking us what the options are. I think at some point you get to declare what your preferences are, and I would not be shy about that. You have devoted an enormous amount of time to this, and if there's a preferred approach that you want, I think hopefully you'll collectively discuss that and just share that with us. And I think we're duty-bound to honor it as long as it's reasonable.
Otherwise, no thank yous needed, because this is quite a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd like to just close on...
I just wanted Andrew to announce on the record when the public hearings are. And I wanted to state from my perspective that they are really important. And historically, this will be my 10th budget. And I've seen time and again people coming in and testifying can make a huge difference. Sure. So I very much encourage people to...
Particularly if they coordinate the color of their T-shirts.
Yeah, so on the record, so we have a public forum on the evening of April 3rd, and that is at David Douglas High School starting at 6:30 p.m. And then we have a community a budget forum on April 17th, and that, Sarah, is... High School, also starting at 6:30.
Terrific. So let me offer just two closing comments, if I could. The first is I neglected to acknowledge and thank Todd Lofgren on my team. Todd is the senior policy director in my office responsible for both of our public utilities. And just as I'm only the second commissioner in charge of both of our public utilities, I think Todd is the first staff person who's been tasked with providing oversight over both, and he does a wonderful job. So, Todd, I want to thank you for your great work. The second thing I just want to say has to do with our process. You know, when Commissioner Fritz and I are out in the public, we sometimes hear from people, particularly in the business community, that we ought to adopt something that they refer to as zero-based budgeting, which is probably more typical in the private sector than the public sector. And then the notion is that each budget cycle, you start by taking your budget down to the studs and rebuilding as if it's anew. And in essence, what you're saying to each bureau is defend every dollar in your budget, starting from scratch. For a lot of reasons, we don't do zero-based budgeting. And I think it would be... frankly, in my view, I'm not sure it's of great value to go that deep. What we have done from time to time is modified zero-based budgeting. And what I mean by that is we have had mayors in the past, including this mayor, who have said, show me a 5% cut. In my own opinion, and I know it's not shared by all my colleagues, I think we should ask bureaus to show a 5% cut during blue skies and also during stormy times. Because what it does is it in effect is an invitation to the bureaus and their advisory bodies to tell us what's core, and if you had to cut something, where would you cut? To give us all a sense of what's that core function and the absolute have-to-haves, and where is there areas to perhaps in the future realign or make cuts and the like. That's the 5% cut exercise in the ideal. What has happened, I think we all anticipated this, is that instead what's happened is the 5% cut exercise has sent off these alarm bells across the community about cherished programs being cut. We're all being inundated with letters and emails from people saying, oh my God, don't cut this. So and frankly, there are long-term dedicated employees who wake up wondering, you know, will I continue to have a job? There's some balance that I hope we can find between having an exercise where we have to be able to show in general fund bureaus sort of what's core and what could you live without in the event of maybe a huge downturn in the economy, and sort of the message the public gets, which is, oh my God, the sky's going to fall and we're going to start closing cherished programs. I hope we can find that balance. I don't think we have yet, and partly it's a communications challenge. But from my point of view, it is useful to have people explain what they might put on the chop block, including it, what we hear often is there's nothing that's part of the fat. It's all core. But I think it's a good exercise. Everyone has their own opinion on this. But I think we have to figure out, Andrew, how to do this without also causing undue alarm in the community. Because we do end up mobilizing a lot of people who come out defending programs, which frankly the council has no intention of cutting. And I think we have to find a better balance in terms of the way we communicate with the public. But from my point of view, I've learned a lot through these presentations. I appreciate the thought and care that goes into it. Commissioner Fritz and I know that Bureau staff spend really countless hours preparing for a very brief presentation, but there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. So we're grateful to everybody for their work, and for everyone here for their participation. And unless there's any further comments, this concludes our council budget work session process. And now we move to the next phase, which is the public hearings and further commentary, and ultimately leading to the mayor putting his proposed budget on the table for the community's consultation or consideration.
Commissioner Fish? I have one question. Last meeting, the question was asked about the unfilled positions for human resource by each bureau. I'm wondering, does each bureau spend 100% of the money allocated every year, or are there money left over for savings that they actually do save by not having filled positions or spending money for contracts?
So we're compiling that information. We'll provide it back to the budget committee, to all of you. The answer to that is yes. So in running their businesses, all bureaus have vacancies at some point, and which generate savings. And then throughout the year, one of the things that the city budget office does is we work with bureaus on how they're spending those vacancy savings and on what. We have a process at the end of the year that bureaus that have been mostly fully staffed or have had large overtime expenditures and so forth can come back and request what we call compensation set aside, because we actually withhold a little bit of a bureau's budget every year, anticipating those vacancy savings. This is on the general fund side. And so we balance that at the end of the year. But the vacancy report will show by bureau the number of vacancies, and it does vary pretty widely in terms of the vacancies that are on the books.
And then anything else gets thrown back in the general fund bucket, and that's what the ending fund balance, half of that is what goes to the essential maintenance, and half of it goes back into the other things.
For the public, roughly how many millions of dollars are we talking about that's unspent annually?
In total, our ending fund balance, excess ending fund balance varies a lot depending on the year, but it can vary from $10 to $30 million across a almost $600 million general fund budget. So I think it's actually what we would anticipate, when you're talking about a $600 million general fund budget. But we monitor that and forecast it, and then, as Commissioner Fritz says, it comes back, and then council decides where that money goes.
So the 5% budget cut you're asking, the mayor's proposal is only $30 million, so we could end up with almost the same amount of money left over each year by not spending the money.
Except that's one-time money, it's not ongoing money. And it also varies bureau by bureau. I mean, some parks, for example, usually spends very close to its actual allocation each year. So whereas others have hundreds of thousands that go back into the general fund.
And Andrew, again, when will we see the final revised forecast?
Final revised forecast at the end of April, after we get final business license numbers.
And so that will tell us how much ongoing and one-time money is available for this budget. With that, I want to again thank everybody for their participation and their service. And this concludes the community budget forums or hearings. Whatever it is. Thank you for your questions.